From my private website, The Sun Series, parts 25H1 through 25N, posted on my private website in August of 2019. Part 25H1, The Model on the Flat Earth. All right, hey everyone. All right, so I'm going to discuss the model in this video. And by the tab that you guys went into, you're going to understand that I am choosing to go and finish off the Sun series. And here is my logic and reasoning behind that. I went back and I watched a majority of the videos. I watched the Moon series again. I watched the Sun series again and some other ones. But the Sun series has stuff for both type of members. The members that want to survive and the members that just want to learn more about the model. And I'm pretty close to finishing off that. I don't know how many more parts, but it's pretty close to being done. So I'm going to finish off that series, and that will appease everyone. And then when I'm done with that one, I'm going to go on to expansion. Again, the reason why I'm going to do the expansion next is one, because Kimberly is going to be starting up the Master and Controller series on her site. And knowing the model even better on the expansion side of it will help you understand what she's going to be discussing in the Masters and Controllers series. And it has a lot of stuff that will help you with survival when you understand the expansion. And it gets even deeper into the model. And then the last thing I'm going to finish off when I get done with those two series is I'm going to finish off the Moon series. And the Moon series is the one that is the least important right now. And I know a lot of people are going to be bummed about that, but it really is the least important. And after watching the Moon series and watching the Safe Zone series, the Safe Zone series, I went into in depth on the model, and that should have explained. So it was kind of the continuation of the Moon series, because when you understand the model, you understand how ours, our dome and plane works and how theirs works. So, I'll finish off the Moon series to answer some, you know, major questions that I've already answered in the Epiphany section and everything else, just to tie it up and put a bow on it, so everybody's really happy. But that's why I'm going to focus in on this video on the model, because I don't think people quite understand what the importance of the model is. And after talking to Kimberly the other day, she was telling me that she didn't, when we first started this, she didn't even know what a model was. So hence, what I'm going to do here is I'm going to explain what a model is and why having the model, you all should be able to fit the puzzle pieces together, because the model is what allows you to do that. So when you have the correct model and you understand how all of the parts work, then you can plug in, you know, so if you have a question about the stars, if you have a question about the moon or anything else, volcanoes or something else, you can plug it into that model and you should be able to get the same result if you understand the model. And that's why I spent a lot of time discussing it in the Safe Zone series, and I thought it was pretty explanatory, but I'll go into it again here just to make sure that everybody kind of gets the concept of it, because that's the key. The key is not to keep on asking questions about the model. The key is understanding the model. And then you can answer your own questions. Hence the reason why I've been pushing thinking so much. So that just doesn't go with the model, that goes with survival. If you understand the model, then you'll understand the challenges that you're gonna face, and you don't need to memorize what I the order of how everything goes down during the EMCO. If you understand the model, you'll know the order and you'll know all the things and how they can only happen that way because of the model and the way things work. So that's what this is about, and I'm going to try to do my best to explain it so you guys completely understand the importance of the model. Right? When you guys came into this site, it was to get the model. The model was never released on YouTube, and that is what you're trying to get all of your answers or your questions answered from that model. So you don't need me to explain how everything works. You can plug in the questions and you'll get the correct answer. The truth can't be told. It has to be realized. And I want to thank Isha from Nepal that put this in an email or a comment. I believe the comment may have been on in Kimberly's site. And Kimberly had heard this quote before. It sounds very Buddhist. It's probably a Buddhist teaching. I had never heard it before, but when Isha had put this in there, I was like, yes, that's correct. I can't tell you the truth. You have to realize the truth. I can show you the model, but you have to understand and realize how the model works. And when you get that, then you're on the path to understanding everything because you will be able to answer the questions for yourself because you have realized the truth. So, what is a model? The definition is a three-dimensional representation of a person or thing or of a proposed structure, typically on a smaller scale than the original. So, what is the 100% correct working model of everything? Well, it's this. It's a dome within a dome. LePont's work, when you understand where the things are, how the things relate to each other, and why they're important and how they cause the things that we see in our natural world. It goes beyond LePont's work because one of the things that you have to understand in the model is electromagnetism, plasma physics, and optics. Optics is a key, especially to the moon and everything that we see in our nighttime sky, and including our daytime sky, because that's optics with a focal point. So when you understand that the plasma tube of light is spiraling, and you understand that the plasma tube of light comes out from the connection of the confinement dome to the flip ring, and if you've watched LePont's work, you'll understand that that plasma tube of light will come from the flip ring down towards the outside part, towards the top of that dome that it's coming down from. So that's everything in a nutshell. You'll understand where the light comes from, what's generating the light, where the photons are, where the domes are, and that is everything that you need to know to answer your questions as far as how does everything work that you see. Now, some people may interpret the model different than myself, and that is completely fine. Where I believe the moon is in the model as I see it, somebody may see it differently, and they may think it's a different thing. Case in point, I have a member down here in San Diego who sent me a very wonderful email about a month ago, and he said that he had an epiphany where he believed that the dome that we see in the sky that we call the moon is actually our dome. And if that works for him, that's great, because he may be correct. I believe it's different, right? My interpretation of the model and how it works is different than his. However, it doesn't mean that I didn't see or think the same thing as him years ago when I was looking at this. I looked at it as it was our dome and it was an optical reflection that we were seeing inside of our dome. Now, I moved past that because I realized everything didn't fit and work properly with that. But it's the fact that he was sitting there and thinking about how it works. And it's a process to get to that realization of how it all works. Understand the model, and you can answer your own questions. That's all I got for this one. The next video in the 25 series will be put up on Friday. Tomorrow we have a member that has drove cross country from New York State that we are going to be meeting with, and we want to give him as much time as we possibly can. So I will do the next video on Friday. All right, thanks guys. Next video, part 25i, particulate problem on the flat earth. Part 25i, particulate problem on the flat earth. Since the last EMCO, red sky to blue sky, clouds have not formed naturally. The natural sky should have always looked like this, a clear blue sky. Natural clouds only form from the plasma arcing during the pre, EMCO, and post phases of the Earth cycle. The natural fires from the conflagration during the pre, EMCO, and post phases, along with the volcanic ash, were and are the natural ways for getting particulates into the atmosphere for clouds to form in conjunction with the plasma arcing. But the controllers cannot recreate civilization without clouds and fresh water to water crops, livestock, and people. The controllers have to manipulate the weather and create clouds for an efficient means to disperse fresh water. And the storage of said fresh water in the colder regions of the world at elevation in the form of snow and mountains. This provides a steady stream of fresh water from snow melt through the growing season of spring and early summer. For 200 plus years, they, the controllers, have had to artificially create the clouds to create, transport, and store the precipitation and fresh water around the world. Civilization cannot function efficiently without clouds and precipitation. So the controllers were and are forced to saturate the air with particulates. Particulates slash pollution is a great thing for civilization during the calm periods between the EMCOs. However, it is a deadly problem during the pre-EMCO and EMCO phases of our natural cycle. Why? Because the byproduct of plasma is water, or H2O. As the controllers have modified the weather and created clouds that are not natural, They have also increased the amount of CO2 or carbon dioxide for plant life to feed on, and have supplied natural vegetation with the fresh water through precipitation, and have created vast areas of forests, jungles, and very thick vegetation or fuel. And if everybody remembers from grade school what plant life and vegetation emits, they emit oxygen. And lots of oxygen, the more vegetation there is. Oxygen is great for us to breathe, but it bonds with hydrogen to form more water and is the other main part for fire. More particulates slash pollution equals increases in carbon dioxide or CO2 in the atmosphere and clouds for precipitation. More CO2 and precipitation equals more plant food and fresh water, which equals more plant life and wild vegetation. More plant life equals more oxygen and fuel for conflagration fires. Next video, part 25J, oxygen equals fire and water on the flat earth. Part 25J, oxygen equals fire and water on the flat earth. The best way to predict the future is to create it. Abraham Lincoln. If you create the weather, then it is easy to predict the weather. However, when something else starts to create the natural weather, like the plasma, then the weather becomes unpredictable. For decades now, the controllers have made the evil culprit out to be CO2, carbon dioxide, calling it a greenhouse gas and causing climate change. CO2, or carbon dioxide, is not a greenhouse gas, and it is not causing climate change. The controllers can't ever tell the truth. But they do indirectly tell you what is going on. CO2 leads to increased plant life, which is the real enemy because it creates fuel and oxygen for the conflagration fires. Oxygen is what the controllers are trying to control and limit. Every fire needs these three ingredients: fuel, oxygen, and heat or spark. By demonizing CO2, the controllers can still implement their plan of reducing plant life or fuel and oxygen levels in the atmosphere leading up to the conflagration fires. Because the heat or spark will be provided by the plasma and the sun to ignite the fuel and oxygen. Oxygen creates a twofold problem for the controllers to manage and the population to contend with. The first and main problem is water. So more plant life releasing oxygen into the atmosphere then there is more oxygen to bond with hydrogen. When the plasma starts its arcing in the atmosphere, it produces its natural byproduct of water, the natural way for precipitation to form on our plane, which means more torrential rains, more hail, and greater sizes of hail, which means more flash floods, more floods and standing waters that will rise, and more fields that can't be planted and destroy any remaining crops that were planted. Remember, just because our genetically modified crops can't deal with those conditions and amount of water does not mean other natural vegetation can't. There are all kinds of natural seeds everywhere and plenty of hardy weeds and aquatic plants that will thrive. The second problem with too much oxygen is on the conflagration fire side. More vegetation or plant life means more fuel for the conflagration fires, along with the hotter focal point. We'll quickly dry out the plant life and make it highly combustible. And now all you need is the spark, which the plasma provides so efficiently around the plane. And now you have all the key ingredients for the conflagration fires. Let me show you what increased oxygen will do to a fire.
We are breathing. Now let's see what happens to the cigarette and how it burns when we introduce medical-grade oxygen. Notice that the cigarette is burning much more quickly. It's burning much faster and hotter than it was on room air that we breathe. You may have noticed a white-hot flame that indicates a flame temperature measured in thousands of degrees Fahrenheit. Notice that the article of clothing does not catch on fire very quickly. Please notice how much more rapidly the patient's skin as well as clothing would catch on fire with oxygen used while smoking with oxygen in place. The covering of the pipe cleaner will be his clothing. Let's see what happens when an ember is introduced from one of his cigarettes. The fire was very impressive. However, the fire you just saw was far hotter than a normal oxygen fire. Oxygen-enriched fires burn between 1500 and 3000 degrees Fahrenheit, or even more depending on the materials involved. This much heat will cause serious injuries.
Did you catch that note? Oxygen fires burn at 1500 to 3000 degrees Fahrenheit. Oxygen. What the controllers really fear, and for a very good reason. Fire and water. Next video, part 25K, electromagnetism and fire on the flat Earth. Part 25K, Electromagnetism and Fire on the Flat Earth. Refresher. What is plasma exactly? It is just electricity that charges the gases around it. Where does electricity come from? From the living body you live in, or Bob. Or even more specifically, the electrical signals inside of the neuron of its brain. Electricity and electromagnetic radiation can also create fire from water. How do you make fire out of water? By splitting the molecule into its base parts, hydrogen and oxygen. Method number one, electrolysis. Not going to get heavy into the science behind this. If you want to learn more, look up electrolysis. But you need a power source, direct current. You need an acid-base solution. You need an anode and a cathode. And the particles will split, and one hydrogen will go to one of the rods, and oxygen will go to the other rod. Another way is electrolysis with salt water as the solution. You can even do it with a battery in the solution. Bubbles forming are hydrogen and oxygen on the battery connectors. So that's how we get water to split into hydrogen and oxygen.
A portable device that makes fire from water has been developed within a European research project. It doesn't use flammable gases, it produces its own fuel as needed.
This is an electrolyzer system we've got here. It's been developed to use a standard mains electricity supply and water. The water is split into hydrogen and oxygen gases and fed into a torch where a flame is produced, which can then be used for brazing or any other industrial application where a flame is used. So it's just using water to make a flame, basically.
Hydrogen and oxygen are recombined at the very tip of the torch, creating a flame that's cooler and much easier to handle than commonly used mixtures of oxygen with propane or acetylene. Hydrogen-based flame is more gentle and cleaner too, because it only produces water when it burns.
So what else does electricity and electromagnetism do? It emits radiation. Not going to get heavy on the science, but it goes from gamma rays, X-rays, ultraviolet, visible light that we see, infrared, microwaves, and radio waves. On the right hand side are the radio waves. Method number two, radio waves or radio frequencies. Electromagnetic radiation, radio waves, also splits the water molecule into hydrogen and oxygen. Look at what this inventor did with electromagnetic radiation, radio waves, salt water, and a spark.
You have enough in there?
His machine could actually burn salt water. John Kansas discovered that his radio frequency generator could release the oxygen and hydrogen from salt water and create an incredibly intense flame.
Just like that. If that was inside a car cylinder, you could see the amount of fire that would be in the cylinder. I can put my hand in here.
Put your hand into the beam, nothing happens. Put in a fluorescent bulb and it lights up immediately. Top engineers have checked out John's amazing invention and they were amazed.
And we saw it go up to 1500 degrees centigrade. The temperature, and it's incredible.
This simple Stirling engine is running with the heat generated by the flames coming off that test tube. The fuel, nothing more than salt water.
This is the most abundant element in the world, water. And salt water is everywhere. And to see it burn actually gives me chills.
So imagine the possibilities. Salt water as the ultimate clean fuel.
So when the electromagnetic radiation gets high enough during the EMCO, the electromagnetic radiation can split salt water into hydrogen and oxygen, releasing copious amounts of those two gases back into the atmosphere. And with the plasma arcing, providing the spark to the highly conductive salt water, the hydrogen gas, which is extremely flammable, will ignite. And I just showed you what increased oxygen does to a fire. Salt water bodies will ignite and burn at the surface during the EMCO. Revelation 20, 14 through 15, King James Version. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Just another reason to stay away from the coastlines of the oceans, seas, and salt lakes of the world. Also, stay away from dried up salt flats, which are old dried up salt lakes, because those will refill with the rainwater and become saltwater lakes again. Salt deposits in the United States, salt domes, and rock salt formations. Next video, part 25L, Blu-ray. Death Star on the Flat Earth. Part 25L, Blu-ray, Death Star on the Flat Earth. Conditioning, the process of training or accustoming a person or animal to behave in a certain way or to accept certain circumstances.
Some so subtle you might not have even noticed, but your brain did.
What's in a name? Everything. Betamax, 1975. VHS or video home system, 1977. Laserdisc, 1978. DVD or digital versatile disc, 1997. Blu-ray, 2006. The name Blu-ray refers to the blue laser, actually a violet laser, but they still call it blue, used to read the disc. Blu-ray 2006. Blu-ray in Iron Man 2008. Blu-ray Transformers 3 2011. Lord of the Rings 3 2003. Transformers 2007. Iron Man 2008. Captain America 2010. Transformers 3 2011. The Avengers 2012. All showing the Blu-ray. Coming or going to the sky. Endless, non-stop conditioning for the masses through all media.
Some so subtle you might not have even noticed, but your brain did.
Ray, synonyms, beam, shaft, laser, spotlight. Godzilla, King of the Monsters, 2019, Blue Beam. Blu-ray is the same as Blue Beam, or Project Blue Beam. Project Blue Beam is rubbish, and there will be no holograms in the sky by NASA or anyone else. But it is conditioning.
Some so subtle you might not have even noticed, but your brain did.
Conditioning for what? The real Blue Beam and Blu-ray that will be appearing soon. The Death Star will deliver the Blu-ray or the Blue Beam. And ignite areas of our plane on fire. Because the Death Star and the Blue Star Kachina are. The focal point of light we call the sun. An image from a scene from the 2016 Star Wars movie Rogue One, made by Disney, the same company that makes the Marvel movies. The original beam from the 1977 Star Wars was bright green. So they, Disney, made it a blue-green color instead. A bluish beam igniting the surface of a planet coming from the Death Star. The Death Star is eclipsing a sun or moving in front of a sun, showing the masses where the beam will come from, the sun. Prepping the brain-dead zombie masses, or conditioning.
Some so subtle you might not have even noticed, but your brain did.
Next video, part 25M, Color on the Flat Earth. Part 25M, Color on the Flat Earth. Why is color so important? because color tells you the temperature of light or a flame. Harken back to middle school, general science, and the Bunsen burner. The color of the flame tells you the intensity and temperature of said flame, yellow being the coolest and blue being the hottest. The plasma tube of light is tightening due to angular momentum and the increasing electromagnetism and magnetic fields as the energy to our cell increases. For the EMCO, the fields increase and the plasma tube of light is forced to travel in a tighter spiral. The plasma tube of light was wide and has got more narrow. And will continue to get more narrow until it becomes a single highly focused ray of light or laser-like. As it tightens, it increases in temperature and intensity. One thousand degrees Kelvin equals 727 degrees Celsius. 1,000 degrees Kelvin equals 1,340 degrees Fahrenheit. The orangish yellow at the left is 1,000 degrees Kelvin. The color changes from left to right from dark yellow, orangish yellow, to lighter yellow, then lighter yellow, and then white, then bright white, and then blue tints coming in, and then all the way to the right-hand side of the blue light is a temperature difference between 1,000 and 10,000 degrees Kelvin from yellow light to blue light. Tangent. That is why they have been very subtly changing the light bulbs you buy. Light bulbs of old were yellow light. Then they switched them to white light. And now they're moving to bluish tinted light. So the brain dead zombie masses get used to white light. And then blue light, also known as conditioning.
Some so subtle you might not have even noticed, but your brain did.
The yellow sun, diffuse, cooler, the color of the sun until the early 2000s. The white sun, less diffuse, and hotter, the sun of today. The blue sun, extremely narrow and mega hot, the most important sign of the EMCO. Here, let me show you what an extremely narrow beam of blue light or laser can do. if 10,000 degrees Kelvin has you worried, from just an extremely narrow ray of blue light, see what happens when you add a lens.
Okay, so you can see it's kind of a line of light now. And it's kind of burning the background here. Now let's see what happens if I stick my lens in front of it. Whoa, I can make it a tiny point, and it easily burns the background now. So you can see the smoke coming off of it. It's slightly burning the background here, but then as soon as I put my lens in there, I can focus it down to a tiny little point. And it immediately burns whatever's around it. So you can see that it kind of starts to burn the wood here. It takes a while for it to burn. Have to leave it there for a bit because it's far away across the room. But now watch what happens when I focus it down. It pretty much immediately burns and starts on fire. It's awesome. It essentially just etches into the wood immediately. And you can see that this happens even more powerful than if I had the laser just right up next to it. You can see that I still have to leave it there for a bit to even start burning. So it seems as though I get my highest temperature when I put my laser really far away, essentially so that I get that little tiny laser slit to a single point because I place it far away. And so that all of the light coming from the laser is now focused into a very, very tiny point. And so all of the energy from the laser can be focused to a small point due to the magnifying glass. And so you can even get a higher temperature than if you just placed your laser directly on the thing you're trying to burn.
Do you see the focal point converging from a lens in the Death Star now, or conditioning?
Some so subtle you might not have even noticed, but your brain did.
Don't forget, we have two lenses above us, the Ice Dome and the waters above. The magnification of light and heat through optics. And now you know why I said the plasma and the sun to ignite in part 25J. Next video, part 25N, plasma tube of light on the flat earth. Part 25N, the plasma tube of light on the flat earth. The plasma tube of light spiraling to a highly focused point of blue light at the focal point. Easy sign to see. Right? Nope. The blue sky conceals the color change of the focal point due to the backdrop being the blue waters above and the extreme brightness of the focal point makes it nearly impossible to look at the direction of the sun without heavily shaded lenses, which distorts the color you see. Isaiah 30:26, King James Version. Moreover, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun shall be sevenfold, as the light of 7 days, in the day that the Lord bindeth up the breach of his people, and healeth the stroke of their wound. Since the early signs of the blue sun are nearly impossible to see, the only other way to know is by the position of the sun. That is why solstices are so important and why they were so important to the ancients. As long as the sun stays within its set parameters between summer and winter solstices, the EMCO cannot happen. There are only two ways the EMCO can happen. Number one, the plasma tube of light expanding outward to the far outside of the plane, to the southern ring or the flip ring, red sky to blue sky. Number two, the plasma tube of light tightening inwards to the center axis on the plane at the North Pole, blue sky to red sky. Does the blue sky to red sky plasma tube of light inward movement happen at the beginning of Hell Week? No. At the prior summer solstice, when the sun continues to head north at summer solstice, then the real shortening of the days begins. The Christmas tree, the symbol for the tightening of the plasma tube of light towards the North Pole. We decorate the tree with strings of lights that represent the plasma tube of light tightening. And spiraling into the center and becoming a star. Hiding it in plain sight through symbolism. Preparing those who have eyes to see and ears to hear, or conditioning.
Some so subtle you might not have even noticed, but your brain did.
And now you know why they, the controllers, call our sun a star. Because it turns into one. Thinking. Rebecca Young is thinking. This was a comment after my last video on Mia's site, about midway down on the paragraph. My guess is it is spiraling northward, but how fast? Does it eventually become the star on top of the planetary Christmas tree? Will it line up with the North Star Polaris before the event, like the sky creating the monolith from 2001 Space Odyssey? Will it reset a higher northern path for a season and then fall back south for the next season? Can this be measured? This is why I pushed thinking so hard. I had to be very careful and measured with what I disclosed on YouTube, or I would have been shut down or worse. But with you thinking, you could get the correct answers without me telling you directly. Next video, part 25-0. shortening of the days on the flat Earth. Next part will be made public soon. Membership to my private site is open for a limited time. See instructions on my homepage to become a member. Note, cost of membership will be increasing significantly soon. Donations welcome. Pay via PayPal to my email address. Make sure email is correct. brian.lambert33@gmail.com. All monies donated count towards the cost of membership.